Good morning, and welcome to our Easter worship service. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, we come before you today to celebrate your resurrection. You died so that we would live, and you live so that we would never die. Accept our praise and worship this morning as we rejoice in you and rejoice in the salvation you won for us. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our hymns for this morning are either printed in your bulletin or they're found in the maroon hymnal in front of you, the LSB hymnal. Today's opening hymn is hymn 457. To follow the order of service that's printed for you in your Easter bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We celebrate this resurrection day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Upon the hill, the cross stands empty. Morning light breaks upon the tomb. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. New life is awakened. Our own resurrection is assured. God has given a living hope, an eternal hope, to a dying world. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. O Lord, prepare us for worship as we confess our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come together to stand in your presence, to hear your word, and to worship you by celebrating the resurrection of your Son. O holy and righteous God, you alone can make us clean. Your mercies never end. They are new every morning. You have told us in your word, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. With your command and promise in mind, therefore, we come to you to confess our sins. O holy and merciful Father, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But at your gracious invitation, I come to you. And for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering and death, I plead, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven, and Jesus' resurrection assures us of this. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Join now in confessing our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ with the words of the second article, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism on the top of page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Congregation may be seated. This time we ask the choir to come forward for their song, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. To you from God our Father and from our risen, living, and ruling Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon for today on this Easter Sunday is a little different than the sermons you usually hear on a Sunday morning. We are going through a series during this Lenten season on powerful words from Jesus' powerful passion. Some of the powerful words we've looked at were words that were spoken by Jesus himself, or words that were spoken by his followers. We've even looked at a few words that were spoken by Jesus' enemies. But this morning on Easter Sunday, we are going to look at some words that were spoken by an angel. These were words that were spoken by an angel at Jesus' tomb on Easter Sunday morning. Some of the most powerful words ever spoken in all of history. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. During our Easter service this morning, then, we're going to be taking a look at these words of the angel. We'll look at each phrase individually and see why these words are so powerful and so important to us. The elders of our congregation will be joining me in reading for us some of the words from Jesus' resurrection as we recorded for us in the Gospels. Our Easter service is printed in full in your bulletin, and I invite you to follow along with us as you, the congregation, will also be asked to do some of our readings this morning. We begin with part one on the middle of page 5 in your bulletin. He is not here, that first phrase from the angel. The tomb is empty. And we read from Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. And now, as the first day of the week began to dawn, while it was still dark, they came to see the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other women came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves,
"Who will open the door of the tomb for us?"
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, for it was very large. When Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them,
"They are taking away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
The other women entered the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, one young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. And the women were alarmed and afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And the angel answered and said to the women,
"Do not be afraid or alarmed, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'"
And they remembered his words. And he said to them,
"But go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you, 'Behold, I have told you.'"
So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb with fear and great joy, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And they ran to report it to his disciples.
We'll continue with hymn 477.
Visit of Peter and John. Peter therefore arose and went out, and the other disciple, and they ran to the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in.
Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, and Peter marveled to himself at what had happened.
Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene. Now, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and, as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her,
"Woman, why are you weeping?"
Jesus said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him."
Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her,
"Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?"
She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples who had been with him, as they mourned and wept, that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe.
The appearance to the other women. And as the other women went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
And they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. We now continue with the next hymn as printed in the service bulletin on page 8, "Morning Breaks Upon the Tomb."
Jesus, as you are,
Part two, the second phrase from the angel on that Easter Sunday morning, "He is risen," which guarantees us that we too will rise. Have you ever wondered why we make such a big deal out of Easter Sunday? Ever wonder why the resurrection is so important? Well, there are a number of reasons for this, but two very important ones stand out. First of all, as Paul tells us in Romans, Jesus' resurrection was the powerful proof that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God, as he claimed to be.
In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we see, "His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead."
And secondly, Jesus' own resurrection guarantees our resurrection from the dead on our graves on the last day. Because I live, you will live also. Christ's resurrection is, in fact, the cornerstone of our faith. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we'd be worshiping a dead man, and our faith would also be dead. Our sins would still cling to our souls and would condemn us. This life in this fallen world would be all that we would have. We would have no resurrection to look forward to at the end of our lives, no perfect paradise of heaven, and no eternal life with our Savior Jesus. But as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians,
"And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep."
Jesus himself promises us that we will rise to eternal life on the last day, just like he promised his friend Martha as she grieved at the grave of her brother Lazarus. He bases his promise on the fact of his own resurrection. Jesus promises us all in the Gospel of John,
"I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?"
By God's grace, he has worked faith in each one of us through his word so that we can answer yes to Jesus' question. We can answer confidently, just like Martha did in the very next verse. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Christ's resurrection then guarantees us the ultimate victory. By faith, God's very gift to you, that victory is made yours and mine. Our sins cannot harm us, hell cannot touch us, and death no longer scares us. Listen to the Apostle Paul's description of this victory from 1 Corinthians 15.
"Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
What a gift. What a victory. What can we give to our God in thanks for his great grace, his risen Son, our Savior Jesus? What else but the praise of our hearts and our lives? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll continue with our next hymn, 479, "Christ is risen, Christ is living."
Thank you.
part three, the third phrase from the angel, as he said, reminding us that Jesus himself predicted his resurrection. Begin on the top of page 11 in your bulletin. After his death on the cross, Jesus' followers were extremely sad, and they were afraid. But they shouldn't have been. They'd forgotten Jesus' promises. He told them very clearly a number of times that, yes, he would indeed suffer and die on the cross. But he also promised them on the third day he would rise again. Listen to what the angels said to the women at Jesus' tomb as Luke records it for us in his gospel. Then as they, that is the women, were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Jesus had, in fact, predicted the very things the angel said. Listen to these words of Jesus from the Gospels of Mark and Matthew.
"And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee."
Ironically, Jesus' enemies understood Jesus' promise that he would rise from the dead. Matthew tells us, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise.'" Jesus' own disciples, however, didn't get it. Even Peter, James, and John, who were with Jesus in that miraculous event of the transfiguration on the mountain, when Jesus showed them his transfigured glory, even they didn't understand what Jesus meant when he promised that he would rise from the dead. Mark tells us in his gospel, "Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant." Jesus needed to open the hearts of his disciples to believe his promises by giving them the proof that their weak faith needed to see, the proof of himself. Luke tells us in the book of Acts,
"Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God."
Jesus' resurrection was not a secret either. During his 40 days on earth after his resurrection, Jesus was seen by literally hundreds of witnesses. The Apostle Paul lists these witnesses for us in 1 Corinthians 15.
"For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time."
We'll continue with hymn 465, "Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds," and you're invited to stand for the last verse of that hymn.
Thank you.
continue on the middle of page 12 with part 4. Jesus makes us his witnesses through his word. You may be seated. Well, how do we know that Jesus has risen from the dead? I haven't seen him. I'm guessing that you haven't either. So how can we be sure that Jesus has, in fact, risen from the dead? Because he's given us a greater witness of his own resurrection than even our own two eyes. He's given us himself through his word. Jesus needed to teach this truth to one of his disciples, Thomas, who had not seen Jesus on Easter Sunday and would not listen to the eyewitnesses, the accounts from the rest of his disciples. Listen again to the account of Jesus' appearance to Thomas as it's recorded for us in John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them,
Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him,
My Lord and my God.
Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen Jesus with our physical eyes yet either. And yet, because we have seen him through our eyes of faith, we believe. We too have seen our Jesus crucified and risen again from the dead through eyes of faith, through the sure and certain accounts of the Holy Scriptures. God's word has given us the proof that our doubting hearts need to hear. Because of God's perfect word, we can confidently say with Jesus' disciples, This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. He is risen, as he said. We are eyewitnesses of his resurrection through his word. And one day, we will be eyewitnesses of our Savior with our very own eyes at our own resurrection on the last day. We can say, by faith, with Job,
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
Let's join in singing these words in hymn 461, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 with all of us. Verse 5 will be the women. Verse 6, the men. And verses 7 and 8, all. So 461, verses 1 and 2, and verses 5 through 8.
Thank you.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. We bring our Easter prayers before our Father's throne. Are there any other prayers for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Savior Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that by your suffering on the cross, you endured the very agony of hell for us, and that by your death you have reconciled us to God. But on this day, Easter Sunday, we especially thank and praise you for your resurrection from the dead, for it proves that you are God's Son and seals your sacrifice as the full and complete payment for our sins. Dear Jesus, may we never cease to praise you with our hearts and our lips and our lives for all that you have so graciously done for our salvation. Dear ever-living Lord, as you were raised up and glorified in your body, raise us up by the Spirit from spiritual deadness to trust you with all of our hearts and to serve you in godliness all of our days. Fill our hearts with joy as we look with longing to the day of your glorious reappearing when you will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day our bodies shall arise in the likeness of your own glorious body. Dear Savior, we need you every moment of every day. Be with us and shower upon us your promised grace and blessings. You are our beloved Savior and friend, whose continual presence has been promised to us. We ask you, Lord, to be by our side in all of our troubles. Give us strength to bear them and wisdom to overcome them. Give us grace to endure every sorrow that comes our way and courage to cope with every disappointment. You are the help of the helpless, who lifts up those who are fallen. Therefore, comfort and relieve us according to our individual needs. May we learn to love you more and eagerly await the treasures you have reserved for us in heaven. All this we ask to the glory of your name, O triumphant Christ, who lives and reigns forever. And we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close our service with hymn 525.
Thank you.
He is risen. Hallelujah. A blessed Easter to all of you. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We welcome our brothers and sisters from our congregation in East Bay and Central Valley, and welcome you here. And also welcome our guests and visitors who are here today. We invite you to sign our guest book and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements. First for today, following our worship service, we will be having a children's Easter egg hunt out the side doors in the back area. There's an enclosed area where the eggs are hidden for the children. And then following the Easter egg hunt, we will be having an Easter brunch. There's going to be seating in the fellowship hall and also seating outside on the picnic tables. So there's plenty of room to spread out. It's a beautiful day. So eat indoors or outdoors if you'd like. This Wednesday, catechism class will be at 7 o'clock, its usual time. And then next Sunday, our worship service will be at 10, Bible class at 9 a.m. We are also planning on having a congregational meeting after the worship service at 11 to discuss some of the ideas for the lighting in here in the church. So please join us for that if you're able next Sunday after the service. For St. Stephen East Bay and Hayward, our worship service will be next Sunday at 1 p.m., and we will be celebrating communion next Sunday. Bible class will follow at 2. I believe those are all the announcements I have this morning. Are there any other announcements today? Yes, Paul.
Perhaps we can have a prayer before we...
Certainly, that's a good idea. Okay, let's join in saying the table prayer together before we dismiss for our brunch. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Amen. Any other announcements today? I did neglect to give a thank you to those who helped out with the decorating, and also thank you to Kristen and Mark for their playing and directing of our choir, both on Good Friday, Palm Sunday, and today. We really appreciate their gifts and talents that they've used for our worship service. And thank you to the choir for singing in those services as well. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.